Monarch, Legacy of Monsters, an Apple original series.
The world is on fire. I decided to do something about it.
On November 17th.
This place, it's not ours. Believe me.
The most massive event of the year arrives.
If you come with me, you'll know everything, I promise.
Oh my God, go, go, go!
Monarch, Legacy of Monsters. Streaming November 17th, only on Apple TV+.
This episode is brought to you by Michigan Economic Development Corporation. In Michigan, you can have both a rewarding career and a quality lifestyle with plentiful career opportunities in world-changing, innovating industries, from electric vehicles to clean energy to biotech, with room for advancement no matter where you are in your career. Plus, Michigan offers a welcoming, beautiful, affordable, and inclusive community for all. Live your best life. You can in Michigan. Visit themichiganlife.org.
Like, a lot of people think you need to be paid. That's like a big thing in like creative world. Yeah. Like, oh, I did a service, I'm worth X, like $250 to take photos. But I'm a very strong believer in the opposite is actually more valuable than a short-term payment. Sure, a lot of them will just take the photos and run with it.
Yeah.
But some don't. And those are the people who will stick around and you'll be their guy forever.
What's going on, everyone? Casey Adams here. Welcome back. Today we got the homie Justin Escalona.
What's up, man?
Appreciate you coming on the show, man.
Of course.
So, dude, first thing first, I know this is our first time meeting. I've been following your content for a while, and my buddy put me on to everything you're doing, and I'm like, dude, like, you're doing it different than anyone I've ever seen it before in terms of content creation with the clothing out, and you have 1340 Collective, and it's been unique for me to watch because I think a lot of people, like, you know, like, there's so many people to follow on social media, but, like, you're very, very different in the terms of storytelling. But for the people that may not know what you're currently up to and what you're working on, I'd love for you to kind of just give a glimpse outlook of like what 1340 Collective is, what it means to you, when you started it, and then we'll get into the story.
Okay, so my name is Justin Escalona, and I am the founder of this company called 1340 Collective. And 1340 started off as a joke. So I used to go to the school, University of Southern California. I was a film student here. And while I was out here, there was a kid in my dorm that lived like a few doors down next to me. And he had his own clothing company. And he'd always be bragging about like how good his company was doing, how he was just killing it. And I found out that he's only selling like 10 units. I'm like, yo, that's really not killing it. And I feel like I could do better. And in the whole USC like spirit, you always have to outdo each other.
Yeah, yeah.
And as a joke, I made my own company, 1340 Collective, and that was just based off 1340. Literally, is my freshman dorm room number.
That's so dope.
And then I studied about streetwear. I studied about all that whole scene for a while. And next thing you know, I turned into in the first week of being live, it was able to turn it into $20,000 worth of revenue in just 1 week. Without really any knowledge of the space, and I thought, hey, maybe I should probably take it serious, and find a way to make this something more legitimate besides just a joke.
Yeah.
And now we're here, and just trying to just do it.
That's so dope. So you graduated college when?
Oh no, I didn't graduate yet.
Okay.
I have four more weeks of college.
Oh, four more weeks.
The only problem is I am not doing too good in the grade sphere. And just helping our best we can get through this.
Okay, that's what's up, man. So, for the people that may not know, so in terms of your brand you built, we obviously connected on Instagram.
Right.
Over 600,000 followers on there, over 300,000 on YouTube.
Yeah.
When would you say that came into your life in terms of social media, growing a following? Because I think a lot of people, I come from a small town in Virginia, and it's like, this whole social media world, it's like you either do it or you don't. Like, there's no like kind of doing it, right? So it's like I can tell you went all in. You're doing what you're doing. So when did that start for you in terms of the social media aspect?
So at a young age, I used to make videos with my friends, and we just make skits. And I was probably in like sixth grade, and I was making like just random skits with my dad's old point and shoot camera. But when I was in sixth grade, that's probably like almost 10 years ago from now. Because I'm 22 years old, and back then, we just made videos on YouTube for fun. Like, the, YouTube wasn't a thing. There's no, like, idea of monetizing, revenue. Like, these words were just literally foreign to me. And this is when YouTube was a small community where there was people like Fred, Smosh.
I remember that.
Like, the incentive to make YouTube videos was just really, can people watch it? And, like, you wanted to get views. And, like, you there's such a small a community aspect about it that everyone who made videos then knew each other. And we just did it for fun, and I really, not until my eighth grade year, I took it seriously, because I just started making, I started to really dive into making more serious short films. Because my friends, we always had cameras around, so, and then I learned how to use the camera, and moving forward from there, in high school, I started making more short films, making YouTube videos, and that's when it all just spiraled into this whole mess.
That's so crazy. So, like, eighth grade was, like, the start of it, you'd say?
Yeah.
Dude, that's so dope. So, nowadays, with the way you do storytelling and the way you do content, especially, like, on Instagram, the short documentaries, that sort of style.
Yeah.
What would you say was the inspiration to, for example, do the documentary style? Because, like, I think a lot of people, they'll put the vlogs, they'll do, they'll put out content.
Right.
But you can tell you have a genuine, like, outlook to it, and you truly put some time and effort into the voiceovers, into, like, the energy. Like I said, it's different than what I've seen. That's why I was really intrigued when I first came across of it. But what would you say was, like, the pivot to start creating content like so?
So I've always, my whole life, I always was into watching movies. I had this big idea for a long time where I had, if I watched a movie every single night, whatever genre it'd be, I'd be able to soak up some of the knowledge, like, subconsciously learn more about the craft that I didn't think I would ever even think of needing one day down the line. And I was drawn to this director, Martin Scorsese, because he uses voiceovers all the time. And after watching his movies, I watched pretty much every single movie he's made. And then I mixed that with watching my favorite TV show of all time, Entourage. And I was like, hey, like, how can I do a crossbreed of film, cinematic, Martin Scorsese stuff with more so of an Entourage outlook on life, of, like, where a bunch of kids from a suburban town who have really not many connections with Hollywood at all, how can they make it? And I wanted to showcase a lifestyle where people could, it's attainable. If you just work hard enough. And through that, I was able to shape my style of editing and filming. And I guess we're here today.
That's so dope. So where are you from, for people that may not know?
I grew up in the suburbs of Chicago. It's a little town called, sort of little town called Palatine, Illinois. Northwest suburb.
That's what's up. So I'm very curious, because I know that you have a lot of videos on YouTube in specific, and a lot of them, the one of them that I first came across was the one where it was, like, my friend Khalid, right? And we watched it today. I showed Roger. Shout out to Roger if he's listening to this, right? But it was really inspiring to me, because I think, like, you all have a very unique outlook to not only the social media world, but just, like, what it truly means to start something, put in time,
right,
and see something win, right? And you said it perfectly in that video. You're like, dude, you really did it, right? And I watched that video, and the energy that I felt from it, it was very inspiring, number one, but it was something that you put it out in 2017, so it was, like, now almost 2 years ago, and I was like, dude, like, this is more than a video. It has a true message to it. But I'd love for you to touch on that, because I don't know if everyone has seen that video that may be listening to that, but I would love for you to just go into what that video means to you, how it's affected you, and overall just your guys' relationship, because I think it was something very unique when I saw it. Like I said, that's more than a video, but a true meaning.
Yeah, so if anyone doesn't know, he's referencing a video I made in 2017 called My Friend Khalid, and it's one of my favorite videos ever made, and it's about the musician Khalid, how him and I developed the friendship before he became famous. And this is easily one of, I think, my best work I've ever made.
For sure.
And so back in maybe 2016, I reached out to Khalid on Twitter. Hey man, I heard Location on SoundCloud, a big fan. He reached out to me, and he replied saying, like, hey man, like, thank you. And a few months go by, I don't hear from him for a while, and he reaches out to me saying, out of nowhere, saying, hey, do you still live in LA? And I go, yeah. He goes, hey, like, so what are you doing tomorrow? I'm like, okay, like, let's come over. And he comes over, and he's like, yo bro, I have, like, no friends in LA. Like, you're one of the first people I've ever met here. I'm like, bet, let's just hang out.
Yeah.
And then over like the course of a long time, him and I would hang out every single day. You'd come to my apartment and just chill. And we developed a very genuine relationship. And it was so funny. He only had like 10,000 followers on Instagram. And Khalid is one of the biggest musicians in the world right now.
Yeah.
And we were just good homies. We'd go everywhere together. But it was so funny. Like, he has a really good A&R. Like, one of the best A&R right now. But at the time, he would always be like, yo, bro, I have to go to this event. And then he'd come back over the next day. He's like, yeah, bro, I met Bryson Tiller and he posted me on his Instagram. And then he went from like 10K to like 40K. And then he's like, yo, I have to go to this other event tonight. And like, he would go from like 40K and he'd hang out with Kylie Jenner and he'd be at 100K. And this kid is just going nuts. Bro, it's incredible how much you're doing. And like, genuinely, I didn't make this video for just like for views or anything like that. It was, he was really like one of my best friends at the time. Like, I didn't have anyone closer in my life besides Khalid.
Yeah.
And I wanted to show my appreciation for him because, you know, when you become like that level of stardom, you're busy, like very busy.
Yeah.
You have world tours, you have all these press things to be at, your life is pretty structured out.
For sure.
So I don't get to see this guy as much, but like, I wanted to make a little homage. So like, I appreciate you for helping me. Like, you've helped me in my life in ways I never thought possible.
Yeah.
So I wanted to make a video like saying thank you, and I guess a lot of people resonated with it. It was just more so like we had this friendship.
Yeah.
And then it ended with me going to one of his shows, and it was just sold out, and there was like over 1,000 people there, and I was like, I almost started crying when I was there. I'm like, holy shit! Like, this is, you've done it. Like, you were a kid who used to just come over to my apartment, and now
that's crazy.
You're like a superstar. It was nuts.
That's insane. No, it's dope because, like, if you watch the video, which I'll make sure I link it down below, it's like you feel that energy. That's why I brought it up, because I was showing him earlier, and it's like I said, like, I'm going to say it again, it has a true purpose and story that the video doesn't do it justice. You know, I think it's something where it's like seeing that not only resonates with a mass audience of people, not only because he's a musician now and he's killing it, but just like the story of it, right? So going back a little bit, 1340 Collective, right?
Yeah.
What would you say, like, nowadays? I always see your Instagram stories. You got, like, the whole print shop. It's freaking killing it in terms of, like, the branding, the style. It's, like you said, streetwear. I love streetwear industry as well. And me seeing that, I'm like, dude, super dope. So you started that, now going out of college. You graduate in, you said, 4 weeks.
Yeah.
If your grades are good, right? What would you say is the main mission for that right now and moving forward?
The main mission right now is trying to scale it as much as possible because, like, when you really think about it, I really made this company as just as a joke.
Yeah.
And I finally started taking it serious, and I have a lot of collaborations with a lot of really prominent people and companies right now. I have a collaboration coming up with LA Weekly coming out in like 2 weeks.
That's dope.
And then I have like a bunch of other collaborations in the works as well with like a bunch of musicians. But it's just really, I want to see how far it can go. Because I have a lot of social cosigns with a lot of like athletes right now, and they've been showing me a lot of love recently. So I really don't know. Like, when I started this company, it was more so like it was just for fun. And now that it's bringing in like very substantial revenue, and a lot of like actual important people are wearing my stuff, it's like, yo, what, I have something on my hands.
That's dope. I think one of the biggest things that I want to touch on there is, like, for example, collaborations. I think a lot of people, like, the reason I started this podcast is collaborations. That's how we're doing this right now, right? It's like my vehicle to network and get into the right circles and just meet people through it, right? Like, and that's very much so elevated my brand as an individual.
Yeah.
So when you say collaborations, what would you say has given you the access, and I would call it like access but leverage, to collaborate with these people from the start? Because obviously you've built a brand, you have the credibility now, and I think a lot of people that are listening to this podcast, it's like, they understand building a personal brand is important. They understand content will lead to opportunities, but they may be stuck. They may be putting out videos no one's watching.
Yeah.
What would you say has allowed you to really elevate your game, build a brand, gain respect, and move in the direction of doing these strategic collaborations with all these influential people?
Yeah, so I feel like a lot of these people who are watching this probably don't know who I am. When I was younger and I was in 8th grade, I used to sneak into concerts. Because I grew up in the suburbs of Chicago, and everybody who would come on tour as musicians would have to stop in Chicago.
Yeah, yeah.
So every single weekend, I would take the train downtown, and I would literally take my dad's camera, and I would go up to the security guard and be like, hey, I'm a photographer, Rolling Stones. And back then, like, photography, videography, and Instagram wasn't a thing, so like it wasn't trendy back then. So like if you had a camera, you were serious.
Yeah.
And I had this huge camera, and they're like, "All right, you're in." And I don't know why they believed me, because I was like a scrawny little kid, and but for some reason they did. And I'd get into all these shows, and I'd take my way backstage, and a lot of the times even on stage, and I'd be taking photos of all these rappers, musicians, that's whatever. Hilarious. And I would do this every single weekend. And once you do it enough times, like, you don't have to sneak in anymore. People start inviting you.
Yeah, yeah.
And I got invited to these shows, and then it progressed to me being invited to go on tour with musicians and be their photographer, videographer. And that's from there, so dope. Like, a lot of people think you need to be paid. That's like a big thing in like creative world. Yeah. Like, oh, I did a service, I'm worth X, like $250 to take photos. But I'm a very strong believer in the opposite. It's
got it.
You don't need to be paid. Like in the long run, maybe in the short term, $250 is nice. You might pay your rent and whatever. But if you're trying to become like a substantial person in the scene, you do things for free. Free is actually more valuable than a short-term payment. So like being able to like do these photos for free for all these people, sure, a lot of them will just take the photos and run with it.
Yeah.
But some don't. And those are the people who will stick around. You'll be their guy forever. And then come, and this is why 1340 really worked for me. So I did all these photography stuff for free for these really influential people.
Got
it. But there's another form of currency besides money. And that's just social posts.
Yeah.
That's the ultimate currency. So back then, I did all this stuff for free, and I maintained relationships with them. And then when I launched 1340, like probably 4 years later, I hit him up. I'm like, "Hey man, like, I launched this clothing company. Can you please wear a photo, take a photo of it?" And they take a bunch of pictures wearing the clothes.
Yep.
And next thing you know, they post it. And now that photo of them wearing it has a lot of power.
Yeah.
And they post it, and now all their followers are like, "Yo, what is 1340?
Yep.
And you see another person was like, "Oh, I've seen 13 on his page, and now this page." And then that just compounds on each other over and over again. And now, instead of taking $250 back then to take some photos, I gave him a free t-shirt, and now that t-shirt is worth $10,000.
Yeah.
So it's just how you want to see it.
Dude, you're speaking my language, bro. That's so facts. So you were, so bring me back. So like, you're finessing getting these concerts, and as you know, like, the mindset of like free, like, I don't know, do you know Gary Vee?
Yeah.
So he's always talking about like jab, right hook, where it's like give, ask, right? And like, mm-hmm. I see that in your approach to when you launched it 4 years later. What would you say instilled that into you? Because was it more so just gut of like, yo, if I do this now, I know that there's value later? Because I think a lot of people listening, it's like, they not only want to get paid, like they expect it, right? Yeah, not that you shouldn't, like everyone is worth something.
You should definitely lose the ego. That's one of the first things I learned in this scene. I just completely dropped the ego. No matter if they have millions of followers or if they have only 1,000, it doesn't matter.
For
because
sure.
if you do stuff that you actually like, because back then I wanted to take photos because I thought it was fun. I didn't really think, I didn't even consider money at all. I was happy enough if they posted it on their Twitter and it was tagged at Justin Eskimo took this photo. And, like back then Twitter wasn't even big either.
Yeah.
So if they got like 40 likes on it, I'm like, oh my God. And like, I'm like screenshotting it, sending it to all my friends. But it's really like, it's not important. Like money isn't, sure, because I feel like a lot of kids who are like starting up as entrepreneurs aren't coming from rags. And I know some might be, and I don't want to be insensitive to that, but a lot of kids come from stable families. They're in high school, their parents pay for their phone bill, they live rent-free.
Yeah.
What is the risk? If you do something for free for somebody, you take photos of someone for free, what are you losing? Sure, you get a few hundred dollars, but if you want a few hundred dollars, just go work at Target. Like, you don't need those $100.
Yeah.
Be having genuine relationships, if you want to take this stuff full boat, and you want to go all the way with it, you don't need the few hundred bucks in exchange for something much bigger.
Yeah.
But also back then, I never even thought of it like that. I thought of it as I just enjoyed taking photos. Okay. And I felt cool going to a show.
No, 100%.
But then, now looking back on it, I'm like, thank God I didn't charge. Because I wouldn't be friends with half the people I know.
Yeah, because then, and it's like, they see you as then like, you're just the guy they pay, and boom, like, you truly build relationships I'm hearing.
You gotta think, like, there's two guys. The guy that, say you're an artist, you have the guy who is reliable, will shoot everything for free, and is always available.
Yeah.
Or, there's the guy who charges me $500, and he's kind of a bitch about it, and he's like picky, and he's asked for his money, and he says only one edit per photo. Who do you pick?
Yeah. Easy. All day.
And the next thing you know, when that artist blows up, he calls you. And when the label has a huge budget, he says, hey, I'm going to give you $50,000. And you're like, amazing.
For sure.
And it's just like, a lot of young entrepreneurs overlook that.
Okay. That's so dope, bro. So it's like, you say that, right? So hip hop, has that always been a thing for you? Like,
yeah, it's always been a thing.
Because you're saying like sneaking to shows, backstage, like I can tell that's been your thing, right?
Yeah.
Love it. What would you say growing up were like inspirations to you in the hip hop scene?
Back then, when I was growing up, there was like, I don't know, like maybe some listeners here might resonate with this, but I don't know if a lot of kids were a part of like the Call of Duty, Modern Warfare 2 trick shotting community.
For sure.
So like, if you guys know what FaZe Clan is, I used to be in FaZe Clan.
Hey, that's it.
I used to be an editor and videographer for FaZe.
Okay.
So I was always hip to those musicians, and like if you're familiar with that, you'll know that there's a whole community of musicians that came from that. Yeah.
Logic,
Cody Allen, G-Eazy, people like that, and like those are the people who were going on tour when I was young. So like being a part of FaZe Clan and also being able to to these shows and meet the people that we used in our montages was cool. So like back then I was really into like Logic, still into Logic because like I work with that team very closely now. Okay. G-Eazy, I guess Hoodie Allen, not so much anymore, but like back then that was like, that was the shit. And I was never really into like hard rap, but I always had the opportunity to take photos. I'm from Chicago, so I got to take photos like Chance the Rapper and stuff like that. It was sick.
That's so freaking dope, bro. So like, you're about to graduate college now. So bring back high school. So I just graduated high school last year, 18 years old.
Wait, what? Really?
Yeah. How old do you think I was?
I have no
idea. He said 24.
I thought maybe like 20, 21, 22.
Okay. 18. And I got into this whole social media game like 15, 16. It's been like 3 years and that's about it, right? So like for you, what would you say like through high school was the main thing that sort of kept you motivated to start doing what you're doing now? Just bring me back a little bit in terms of like, because I think a lot of my listeners that listen to this, it's in that 16 to 20, 25 demographic and like, they're trying to build a brand. They want to gain credibility. They want to have these collaborations. And, like, you're breaking it down to a science to them. But I think hearing it from, you're 22 now, correct?
Yeah.
Hearing it from that perspective, some may be older than you, some may be younger, but people always say, and I've heard this all the time, where it's like, why not them? Like, they don't believe they can do it, whether that's the surroundings they're in or their community. Like, people just always say, it's not for you. You can't do this. You can't do that. I got that a lot growing up. What would you say allowed you to push those people out and actually just pursue your passions, where it's like, yo, I'm gonna sneak into this show and do this photo shoot and be happy as hell and not complain about not getting paid $250.
Yeah,
so that mentality I think is very important.
A lot of people will try to tell you that it's like your dream isn't good enough or it's unrealistic, but it might be unrealistic, it might be crazy, but like you're young and you only have so much time to be able to live in that mindset, because I feel like once you turn past 25, people are like, stop acting dumb, like stop dreaming, stop like thinking of being, stop being, you don't have these youthful ideas anymore. But when you're like 16 years old, you're like, hey, I want to make the next Facebook.
Yeah.
You're like, you know what, man, what's stopping you?
Yeah.
You really have no barriers. You have to go to school from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. and you might have to go to hockey practice after that. And now you're all free. You can do whatever you want. Like, sure, like research as much as you want. Sure, like, who cares? Like, the kids in high school who make fun of you, like, those kids who make fun of you are probably going to be fucking working at Home Depot when they're 40 years old. So, like, I really have, like, I don't care. Like, you just have to lose. These kids who are making fun of you now and say that big idea that you had works out.
Yeah.
They're going to ask you, and they're going to come up to you and be like, hey, man, I knew you can make it. And it's like, no, you didn't. And that feeling of being able to say that is going to be so much worth, so much better than being like, oh my God, they're making fun of me because I want to be an entrepreneur. Like, fuck those kids. Like, who cares?
Yeah. Did you grow up like surrounded by entrepreneurs, or this is like a whole new land that you created?
So my best friend in high school, his name is Nick Kowalski, if you're listening to this. him and I had this like weird chemistry that I feel like is very rare.
Okay.
In I've never met anyone, like I've been living in LA for this long and I have never met anyone who has this with me, where we can sit down in a room and just bounce ideas. Like we can sit in a room for like 10 minutes and we'll have like 40 business ideas. And we have this odd way of just connecting. And even today I consult with him. He doesn't live in LA anymore, but him and I just talk every, like pretty much every once a week, like, yo, I have all these ideas and boom, 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 boom. I have anything I'm struggling with, it, he can just help me out. So you gotta find that friend who will be there with you tell you that your ideas aren't crazy. And if you have that guy, because I know a lot of kids who will sit down in like a circle with their friends and like probably like get high or smoke some or drink some beer, and they'll be like, I have this idea to make the next Tumblr, and it's like crazy, right? Yeah. But when you have that friend who's like, yeah, like let's do it, that friend is valuable. Yep. Versus having a friend that's like, oh, bro, like, stop. Like,
snap out of it.
Yo, like, stop being dumb. And you have that guy who kills the energy. Having the friend who sits there and is like, yo, man, like, maybe not that one, but how about this one? And then you go, hey, how about not that one and this one? You keep spiraling.
Yeah.
And now you guys can, there's no judgment. Mm-hmm. When you have that friend who's too cool to be like, oh, that's dumb.
Yeah.
You'll get nowhere. And you'll be forever broke. But you have that friend who wants to be a little crazy with you. Hey, man, like, you never know.
Yeah, that's super dope. That's freaking epic, because, like, so now, how long have you lived in L.A.?
Like, 4 years.
4 years?
Yeah.
Well, so, in Chicago, growing up, like, did you come to L.A. a lot? Were you traveling, seeing different things? Like, what brought you to L.A. and the energy and everything out here? Because, obviously, it's probably not only helped you so much, but it's, like, been a concrete step to be where you are today. What was that like growing up? Like, did you come out to LA and like taste it and you're like, yo, I want to be out there? Or how did that look?
So, like, I don't, honestly, thinking back on it, I don't think I ever went to LA when I was younger. I always visited my cousins up in San Francisco, Napa Valley area. Yeah. And we'd go skiing in Tahoe all the time.
Okay.
But my cousin there, he just had a flag in his room. It was a USC flag. And I was like, I always want to go to USC. I knew nothing.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I guess I want to go to USC too. And then NCAA football was a thing, like the video game, and I always play as USC. I literally had no idea what USC was, even like where it was. Was it in LA? Was it in San Diego? I didn't even know the difference in LA and San Diego was.
Got it.
And I guess in high school, when I started getting into film, like really into film and watching movies every single night, I was like, yo, maybe USC is the place, because USC is regarded the best film school in the world. And I was like, well, shit, like, why not give that a try?
Yeah.
And I don't know if you know this, but I applied to like 20 film schools.
Damn.
And I got rejected by all of them, except for USC. And that was like the craziest day of my life. And that was the excuse to move out to LA. I was like, all right, let's do it.
That's freaking nuts. So 20, so that's the best. So it's like, at the end of the day, like, that's the best way you could have won.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what? So how did everyone say no, and then that one best one?
I have no idea.
That's freaking dope.
I got rejected from this college called Chapman University.
I've heard of Chapman.
And it's a pretty good film school. It's ranked pretty in the top 10. I got rejected from there, and like a month ago, they invited me to do a talk at their school.
Oh, I saw that.
And I thought it was so funny.
Oh, dude, it's like
And I definitely had to start it off with, I got rejected from this school. And they were like, oh my God. And all the students started laughing. And it's like, well, I really did.
That's so dope. That's so dope, though.
Yeah, it was sick.
So dope. So I got like two more questions for you, man. So it's like, looking back, I think I always like to bring up like the people that are listening, right? That's what truly matters within a podcast. And
yeah.
The more I've gone out and gone to events and seen people that are building their brands, like, they never know how to differentiate, right? They see someone they want to model and, like, try to be like that person. I feel like I got caught up in a lot doing that, where it's like you see everyone and what you, quote-unquote, think works, but you block out what is truly you, what your passion, the authenticity, like...
Right.
And I see that very clearly within your brand in the sense of, like, you are doing you to the maximum, right? So it's like... What would you tell that person that it's like he feels blocked, he feels stuck, he feels like he has to try to one-up someone that he's watching on social media? Because you know, bro, there's a bunch of bullshit that, like, people get caught up in, I believe, and it's like, it's not healthy, right?
Oh,
people try to be like this person and don't be themselves. Yeah, so what would you say to that person?
I don't think there's anything wrong with finding a role model or an inspiration that you take full throttle. Because if you look back at my old stuff, it looks like a carbon copy Casey Neistat video.
Okay.
And like Casey Neistat, I feel like will speak to a lot of young filmmakers. Everyone wants to be Casey Neistat.
Yeah. Shout out to Casey.
Like, it gives you an experience of like, oh, like it gives you an opportunity to make videos in your like low budget style. You don't have a lot of money, but like Casey can, if you do his style, it's possible. And for a long time, I just copied him, and I got, you learn a lot. Mm-hmm. You learn a lot about film. You learn a lot about like making things work with what you got. And one day I was like, this is way too similar.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, how can I take what I've learned of my like literal year of copying Casey Neistat and turning it into something of my own? And I started incorporating elements of like movies I enjoyed watching. And I was like, okay, now like, let's try to make a voice for myself that like can be copied. Like, can someone copy me? And if, I have this big theory that if you cannot be copied, you do not have a brand. And
that's so real.
Yeah, so like
shit.
So I started to like trying to find like my thing, like what could people copy? And the next thing you know, it developed into this what I have now. And it's so obvious if someone makes a copy of my videos, and it's like, oh, that's like, I don't get offended because I know exactly what they're at. I used to do the same thing.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm talking, and I think the biggest thing for me when I do podcasts with someone, it's like, it allows me just to get to know someone, right? And what would you say that throughout social media or the content you put out, what would you want someone to know about you that you necessarily don't talk about a lot, or you don't just put out there a lot? Because I think everyone has, like, you brought up hockey, right? That hit me because I played hockey for 10 years. I was like, dope. Like, that's just something that hit me, right? But, like, what would you tell to that person that just came across you? If there was one thing you'd want them to know about you and that would stick with them, what would that be?
Okay, I've put some thought into this before. A lot of people might think that, like, minor things that they're doing don't matter, that there will be no significance one day. I even when I was younger, I'm like, yo, literally there is no point. Why am I doing gymnastics? And then next thing you know, like, I learned how to do flips. I do learn how to do all these like big acrobatic activities.
Yeah.
And then I was in high school, and like I just did it because my parents told me to do a sport. And fast forward like a few years, Sam Colder becomes super popular for doing backflips off of massive cliffs. And I'm like, wait, I can do those flips too.
Yeah.
And those little things I did back in high school where I thought would be literally pointless turned into something. And now I can make videos where I jump off of random cliffs and do a double backflip that I thought was back in high school, like doing double backflip, who cares? Like, it wasn't a thing, but now it is.
Yep.
And that can be scaled into so many other different avenues of like, of business, of life.
Yep.
And like, that's just one example. Like, another example might be, I tie it back into the sneaking into concerts.
Yeah.
Never would have thought sneaking into concerts, taking photos would lead me into having major cosigns for a clothing company one day.
Yeah.
Back in high school, I literally wore Vineyard Vines and Sperry's every day. So to think that I was into
streetwear
is nuts.
Okay.
So like, everything you do one day might have a greater purpose. Yeah. And if it doesn't, oh well.
Dude, that's freaking epic, man. Thank you so much, man, for all the knowledge, my brother. So that being said, people that are just coming across this podcast that just heard your story, where's the best place for them to connect with you, watch your content? Where should they go to find out more?
You can find me on Instagram at Justin Escalona or YouTube at Justin Escalona. All my social medias are Justin Escalona.
Dope. I got mine are all different. I got fucked. Oh, my name. It's all good though. But yeah, man, so everyone listening, I really appreciate you tuning in. Justin, thank you so much, brother, for making this happen.
Thank you for
having
me.
This was so last minute. And I just want to say,
like, people know that we literally met like 2 minutes before we started recording.
Yeah, like, we had to do it fast.
That's crazy.
It's dope, bro. Like, honestly, though, like, I just want to say thank you. My buddy, huge shout out to my buddy Anthony Bertonson as well, because I remember I used to see a lot of your content, and then he was showing me all of these different videos, like, over and over and over. He was just sending them to me, and I was like, dude, this dude, like, you're on it. And then I saw the different articles come out, and like, I saw the thing where you spoke at that college that kicked you out. I was like, dude, like, there's a lot of people that are doing it, but I'd like to say, like, the content you're putting out, like, I'm a huge fan, I'm a huge supporter, so like, I just want to put that out there, man, because you're killing it.
Thank you, bro, I appreciate it.
For sure. So that being said, I just want to say thank you to everyone for tuning into the Build Your Empire podcast. Make sure you go check out Justin. He's a beast. go cop some 1340 Collective because, dude, it's so fire.
Thank you.
Go check it out. Peace.
Monarch, Legacy of Monsters, an Apple original series.
The world is on fire. I decided to do something about it.
On November 17th.
This place, it's not ours. Believe me.
The most massive event of the year arrives.
If you come with me, you'll know everything, I promise.
Oh my God, go, go, go!
Monarch, Legacy of Monsters. Streaming November 17th, only on Apple TV+.